Amen. Well, hey, how many guys here got a pet? Right? Almost everybody's got a pet or had a pet at one time. Okay. And usually when it comes to a pet, you know, we kind of do the normal thing, I would say. We either get a cat or a dog. Okay. But I don't know if you know this or not, but man, it's getting kind of weird out there. You hear people getting pets, like they get snakes. Big old snakes or spiders, not just spiders, but tarantulas. Why would you want that as a pet, right? Some people, I kid you not, you even hear stories, they get pet cockroaches. Are you kidding me? I pay for a guy to make sure we don't have cockroaches, right? But, oh, and then there's even people, can you believe this? They even get pet chickens. Yeah, you need to pray for those folks, okay? But believe it or not, even people are getting these pet goats. And not just goats, these little mini goats. Have you seen that? And folks, I'm telling you, if you want a freaky pet, get a goat, right? Watch this. This is crazy.
No, I won't. No, you do it. Yeah. No matter how many times you ask, I won't take the trash out. It's your job. Hey! Bro! You wanna fight? Yeah? 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 Alright. Let's do it. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. No. It's really not. No. It's a, how many times? You want a kiss? Make up.
Nathan, you don't have a goat, do you, in Texas? Praise God for that. Are goats freaky or what? I tell you what. Now, as freaky as that goat was, folks, believe it or not, there are some other freaky goats that are going to occur at the end of the seven-year tribulation. You don't want to be one of these goats, right? Here's what we see, Matthew 25, 31 through 33 and 41. When the Son of Man, Jesus, comes in his glory and all the angels with him in his second coming at the end of the seven-year tribulation, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory, and what? All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people from one another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the what? The goats. And he'll put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. And then he's going to say to those on his left, the goats, listen, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Now, how many guys would say that's you don't want to be one of those freaky goats? Yeah, that's not a good future for you. And the reason why is because it rhymes with they're going to hell. Okay? And that's the issue. Folks, the Bible is clear. The only way to escape that horrible reality, and from being a goat that is destined, unfortunately, unto that, is to become a sheep through Jesus Christ and receive his gift of salvation through him. Amen? That's the only way you can escape it, okay? And the reason why is because, folks, once again, we are talking about the seven-year tribulation, okay? It is not a joke. Okay, the Bible is very clear about this time frame. It is an outpouring of God's wrath on our wicked and rebellious planet for 7 years nonstop. Jesus said in Matthew 24, it's going to be a time of greater horror this world has ever seen or will ever see again, and that unless God shortened the time frame, the entire human race would be destroyed. But praise God, as we've been seeing, God's not just a God of wrath. He's a God of what? He's a God of love as well. And how does he demonstrate that love? Hey, multitude of ways, but certainly by devoting nearly one-third of his book, the Bible, to what? Future events. Letting us know. Giving us a heads up. You better become a sheep real fast. Because you don't want to be a part of the seven-year tribulation, amongst other things. And that's why we're going to continue our study, the final countdown, tribulation rising. Now, if you've been tracking with us, we've already seen the first two signs, okay? The first one was the Jewish people and the Antichrist. We dealt with that for 20 weeks. Who's counting? I am. Okay. Then the last three times we dealt with the second sign now we're into is modern technology and the AI invasion. Another huge sign from God. Believe it or not, modern technology and even this new technology called artificial intelligence is a sign from God biblically that we're living in the last days. Now, we've already seen that first sign was the increase of travel. Okay. That's what we've been dealing with the last 3 weeks. Exactly like the prophet Daniel said nearly 2,500 years ago. Okay. He said that when you're in the end of times, what are you going to see? Not just an increase of knowledge, but what? People are going to be traveling to and fro all over the planet like never before, and that's exactly what we've been seeing. We already saw the increase of land travel, the increase of air travel, and then last time, the third and fourth one was even the increase of sea and space travel. Travel has gone ballistic on our planet in our lifetime, and we saw not only the increase of the speed of sea and space travel. Remember that supersonic submarine China's working on? You can go from Shanghai to San Francisco that normally takes a plane 11 hours. They can go underwater in 100 minutes. Sea travel is going crazy with that. And that's just one example. Then space travel, right? Space travel, they're working on technology to get you and I not just to the moon, but to Mars in just 3 days. That's not counting the light travel technology, light speed technology they're actually working on. If they pull that off, you can get to Mars in 12 and a half minutes. Okay. Then we saw even with the options for sea and space travel, that's increasing as well. For you and I, the average Joe. How many guys remember that vehicle that could go on land or water? Just remember that? Man, that thing was cool. We saw that last week. I want one. But then we even saw that for the first time, it's really legit. It's not make-believe, and it's not going to be 50 years from now. It's coming, folks. In just a couple years, they are actually now beginning through private corporations, they are going to offer what's called the Moon Express. Just like you and I can get on a plane, a commercial airliner, and go where we want, we can buy a ticket and take trips ourselves, the average Joe, to the moon. It's all happening, folks, in our lifetime. Oh, and by the way, do you guys remember that China putting that fake moon up there? Remember that one? It's crazy days we live in, folks. But you stir all that together and what? It's exactly what Daniel said would happen to the planet when you're in the end of times. To and fro, anywhere, pick anyone, land, air, sea, travel. It's all happening all at the same time, all in our lifetime. We better get motivated. But the second way we're going to see, begin a new journey, is modern technology. How's it revealed in the last days? Well, you're also going to see an increase of communication. An increase of communication, global communication on a massive scale. And I'm convinced that's exactly the technology that the Antichrist and the false prophet needs if they're going to pull off what Revelation 13 says they're going to do. A one world government and a one world religion. And believe it or not, I believe we're seeing for the first time history repeating itself with the Tower of Babel. Okay, let's take a look at what was going on with that time of rebellion, and you tell me if it's not being repeated today with modern technology, right? Genesis chapter 11 is our opening text. Let's go ahead and take a look at that. If you find Revelation, what do? Just close it and start all over again. It's at the very beginning, or flip it over, whatever you want to do. Genesis chapter 11, we're going to read, as you can see, verses 1 through 9 there, and we're going to take a look at the Tower of Babel incident. Okay, when mankind was just like will happen again in the 7-year tribulation. They're rebelling against God. But let's take a look at what helped them, unfortunately, to work together so effectively in the rebellion and see if that's being repeated today. All right, but let's go ahead and stand as we read God's word. Here's what it says. Now the whole world, how much? The whole world had what? One language and a what? A common speech. And this is what enabled them to do what they did. As men moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. And they said to each other, come, let's bake bricks and bake them thoroughly. So they used brick instead of stone and tar for mortar. And then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens, as we saw last week, so that we may make a name for ourselves and not be scattered over the face of the earth. Are you serious? God told you after the flood, go multiply. And here you are rebelling already again. Wow. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower that the men were building. The Lord said, if as what? One people speak in the same language, they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so that they will not understand each other. So the Lord scattered them from there all over the earth and they stopped building the city. That's why it's called what? Babel, okay, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole world. And from there, the Lord scattered them over the face of the earth. You may be seated. But again, this is the infamous passage of the Tower of Babel. We're dealing with the time right after the flood, basically. And the flood, by the way, was what? That was the last time that God judged our planet, right? In such massive scale, okay, with the worldwide flood. And what's wild about this is you already see mankind rebelling against God. It's crazy. Good thing we don't have hearts that are quick to rebel. Yeah, we got a lot to cover. But anyway, let's move on. He's meddling, right? No. And so they're already rebelling against God. Okay, I mean, you would think, listen, a worldwide flood where only, do the math, 8 people survived would kind of get your attention. Better not do that again. But here they are already back at it again, rebelling against God. And again, right out of the gates, notice, apparently, what was a dynamic that helped to produce such quick, unfortunate, rapid rebellion and unity to rebel against God on such a global basis? The whole world was at it again. What did it say there? They had one language. They had a common speech, okay, that enabled them to unfortunately work so well together that even God recognized how powerful that unity was in language and communication that he said, we better mess it up. And that's what he did. God went down. That's why it's called Babel. Okay, in Babylon, that area there. But he confused the languages, and we are still dealing with that as of today. Did you know there is about 6,500, that's right, 6,500 different spoken languages around the world? That came from God. Now, how many guys would say that would cause confusion? And that's a judgment from God, right? To keep us from what? From gathering again together like the Tower of Babel and unfortunately shaking a fist at God and say, no! The whole world, we're going to rebel against you. God confused the languages to keep that from happening. But guess what's happening in our lifetime? Folks, the languages are coming back again. And I am firmly convinced that it has everything to do with Bible prophecy, because this is the thing that needs to happen if the Antichrist and the false prophet, Revelation 13, are going to pull off their one world government and one world religion. Revelation 13, 3 through 4, 7 and 8. The whole, what are we doing? Genesis 11, we saw the whole world. They were rebelling. So here's in the 7-year tribulation. Once again, what? The whole world again is added again. Was astonished and followed the beast, the Antichrist. Men worshiped the dragon, Satan, defined by the text, because he had given authority to the beast. And they also worshiped the beast, okay, and asked, well, who's like the beast? Who can make war with this guy? And he was given what? Authority over every tribe, people. What's the word there? Language and nation. You're talking about a global government, right? That the Antichrist is going to have at that time. And then, not just a global government, but a global religion. All inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast, all whose names have not been written in the book of life, belonging to the Lamb that was slain from the creation of the world. So basically, we see in the 7-year tribulation, which you don't want to be a part of, don't be a goat. Turn to somebody and say, don't be a goat. That would be bad. Hey, I'm just trying to keep it going, right? Just, all right. No, don't be a goat, right? But the only way to escape it is to get saved through Jesus Christ right now, amen? Okay? Okay, but in that time frame, the whole world, once again, just like the Tower of Babel, they're going to be rebelling against God, okay? And they're going to use that in that rebellion. They're going to create a global government and a global religion, okay, that other passages talk about as well. And I'm telling you, folks, I believe the enemy is creating that same unfortunate unity to pull off the same aspect of a global rebellion again. And he's using technology to get it done, and specifically with communication. Just like the Tower of Babel, okay? And there's two ways I want to demonstrate that. The first way is right now, folks, whether you realize it or not, our planet is being connected. All people are being connected via communication technology, okay? Our planet is being connected with communication technology, okay? And this is huge, and this is all happening, folks, in our lifetime. Okay, and it's escalating, right? For the longest time, as we saw the last 3 weeks, mankind, how in the world are you going to create a global society and do the global events in the 7-year tribulation? Mankind couldn't do it for the longest time because we're separated on isolated continents, right? Well, as we saw the last 3 weeks, guess what? Modern travel technology brought you together in our lifetime. So that was step one. But we not only have a continental gap, we have a communication gap. Right? Because, you know, we can travel now to and fro, but hey, the speech and the communication, we're still dealing with 6,500 different spoken languages, right? So how in the world are you going to bring that together? Well, folks, that's what's happening, and frankly, it's been happening for quite some time. Slowly but surely, okay, we're all being unified in communication, not just travel. Now, let me just go back and do a little bit of history, but you're going to see it begin to exponentially take off and go nuts, uniting our planet. Now, the first big breakthrough is these things called newspapers, right? You think, okay, so what, newspapers? Hardly ever see any even read newspapers because it's all about the internet now, and what we use newspapers for is the bottom of the birdcage, okay? But some people still read them. But folks, I'm telling you, the birth of newspapers was huge when it comes to communication and communication to unite the whole planet, right? Now, the first big breakthrough came as a result of this thing. It was called the Gutenberg Press, right? And how many guys realize that that was named after a guy named Gutenberg? You guys, give yourself a golf clap. You're incredible today. You're paying attention. Yeah. So, and this was a big breakthrough because now you could take printed material and you could mass produce it. Before, it was all done by hand with scribes and stuff. And even before that, the form of communication, how many guys would like to just, hey, I need to get a letter out. So you grab a hunk of clay and you take these shapes and you, now my kids would like that. You know, because they're into Plato, that great philosopher. No, that's a different Plato. But anyway, so And then you wait for it to harden. That's called cuneiform tablets. That's how they used to communicate. How many guys, it's kind of tough when you're going to the office cooler. Hey, guys, you see that article? And here, look at these. It doesn't work too well, right? But that's how they used to communicate. Then it went from cuneiform tablets. It went, of course, to animal skins. Eventually, they developed parchment and things of that nature. They would even use discarded pieces of pottery. But folks, all of a sudden, here comes the Gutenberg press. And even when that came along in the 1400s, it stayed that way for quite some time until the 18th century, and you saw the birth of these things called newspapers, right? And in the U.S., our first daily American newspaper, successful one, was in 1784. Here's the name of it. It was called the Public Occurrences, both foreign and domestic. Okay. Now, do you see why we have to come up with every once in a while, every so generations, improvement on Bible translations? This is back in 1784. Look at the English there. Not the easiest to read. Okay, but that's how it was spelled back then and things of that nature. Okay, but as you can see, it wasn't just, listen, not just a newspaper, not just an American newspaper. What's the title? Public Occurrences. Yes, but what? Both foreign and domestic. So right out of the gates, newspapers came along and it didn't just make it much easier than, you know, a big giant tablet to share with people what's going on and communicate around the world, but they're public events, public and foreign events, right out of the gates. Newspapers began to communicate, listen, for the first time since the Tower of Babel, what's going on around the world. And that was just the first huge major step. We've got 18,000 newspapers now, over 102 different countries. That is not even counting the internet. The internet now, you and I could have any news piece of what, who, what country at our fingertips, thousands of them, right? So we can get connected now, communicate, and learn from the world. But that was just newspapers. Then it went to another communication technology called radio, right? How many of you guys remember that? The Shadow. Or no, the Whistler. You remember that? Amos and Andy? Yeah, I'm actually 112 years old. It doesn't look like that. It's the formaldehyde they put in ice cream. It keeps your skin tight. So, but I don't know. Or the preservatives in ketchup. We'll talk later. But radio, huge breakthrough, okay? Now, some say that the radio came along because of Marconi, and others say, no, it was Nikola Tesla. But either way, it was a huge deal because, again, now you cannot just read what was going on around the world, that form of communication. Now you could what? Hear what was going on around the world. Major, major communication. Again, specifically if your goal ultimately is to what? Unite the planet into a rebellion in the last days, okay? The first transatlantic radio transmission occurred in 1901. That was by Marconi. And ever since then, man, it went on a massive global scale. Today, we've got approximately 44,000 radio stations throughout the world. 15,000 of them are just here in the United States. And then in our lifetime, folks, another recent development that has made radio go literally global, and that's what's called satellite radio. Are you serious, Chris? Yes, I'm very serious, Chris. Get it? Serious. Yeah, you try to make this funny. But anyway, that's right. Sirius, okay, with satellite radio and then even internet radio, and you combine those two, what's it given us? Man, just anybody, even you and I, especially with the internet now, you can have your own radio station. All happening in our lifetime. We can communicate to anybody, anywhere. They could tune in. We could tune in around the world. It's slowly starting to connect us. And that was just radio. Then the next one, of course, was TV, right? We all know about that one, right? Okay, and this was another, again, huge breakthrough. Now, do you guys realize there was a time when there was something that was not in existence called the remote control, right? These were actual ancient devices that you put together with sticks and rocks. You actually had to get off the chair, and you had to go to the device and go, remember that? A lot of kids don't, you have no clue what I'm talking about, do you? In fact, you're even off the remote now. You're just, you know, speak it. And you're finding it. That, it's all happening in our lifetime. But back in the day, TV, huge breakthrough. Because again, put it together. What's your goal? I want to unite the whole planet. I want to unite all forms of communication for the 7-year tribulation. So now with this, you can not only read what's going on the planet, you cannot just hear what's going on the planet, but now what? You can see what's going on around the planet. Now, the first successful television signal occurred in 1927 by this guy, Philo Farnsworth, okay, who's credited with the invention of TV. And of course, since then, it has gone absolutely crazy, okay? And not just, again, kids, I got to kick this because you don't know how good you got it. How many of you guys remember the days, back in the day, when you had these things called rabbit ears? Remember that thing? You're trying to watch a show, man, back in the day, which, by the way, there was only about three in existence. But all of a sudden, and then you bust out the aluminum foil, so trying to increase it. Remember that? I tell you why. Kids, you have no, believe it, there was life before cable. Okay, but eventually, speaking of which, came cable and then satellite signals, and now television is being broadcasted anywhere around the world. Oh, by the way, this is all happening in our lifetime. It's being broadcast. We have 28,000 TV stations around the world. And again, even in recent years, as we sit here, all kidding aside, folks, television is now morphing into what's called app-based streaming technology. And so now, literally, with the help of the internet and satellite technology, you and I can customize our television experience the way that we want it, any channel, any idea, any information, any form of communication we want to receive can be customized with apps the way that I want to hear to be connected with what? The whole world, okay? We can see it all. Again, another fantastic leap if you want to connect the planet in the last days. But let me give you one more, because this is important too, and that's the advent of another thing called the telephone, right? Isn't that cool, right? Remember those days? No, I don't remember that day. So but anyway, all formaldehyde aside, okay. But think about the birth of the telephone. You put it all together. Again, the enemy knows exactly what he's doing, folks. Right now we can, with this technology, you can read what's going around the planet. You can hear what's going on the planet. You could see what's going on the planet. And now listen, you could speak to people around the planet. What was the rebellion at the Tower of Babel? They could speak, okay, to each other in a common, huge way, okay? But again, just as we know, I would assume, the first successful telephone transmission occurred in 1876 by this guy, Alexander Graham Bell. And of course, it started with the statement he made to his assistant, Mr. Watson. Mr. Watson, come here, I need you, or whatever. Okay. And then the very next year, he started what was called the Bell Telephone Company. Remember that thing? That was in existence for oodles of years. I think it got swallowed up by a corporation. But the Bell Telephone Company, and listen, even back then, folks, okay, within 10 years, he had 100,000 people just in the U.S. getting phones communicating all over the place. Telephone was a huge, major, mega breakthrough. And of course, can you live without a phone today? In fact, I don't know. I'm going to step on some parents' toes, but I got giving your kid a telephone at 4? They don't need a telephone. 4? Are you kidding me? I didn't get a cell phone until I was like in my late 20s. And that was a cell phone that was called the brick. It's back to the cuneiform thing. But boy, you look cool driving the car, spending $1,000 trying to look cool. But remember those days? It was just crazy. In fact, I'm going to give you an idea just how fast telephone technology to speak anywhere we want on the planet has increased. And I'm not making this up. This is just a short video clip. A father recently challenged his two teenage sons with a rotary phone. Remember those? You had to dial the thing, right? And he challenged them to, they've never seen one before. He said, here's a number, dial it. Watch what they did. I'm not making it up.
Okay, so go ahead and lift up the box. You have 4 minutes to dial that phone number.
That's it?
With that phone.
Wait, so you have to push it.
Right? Kyle, move it over. I don't want you to have the video.
My fingers don't.
Look, there you go. Look.
It's all the way from here.
Yeah. 7.
Oh no, 0's all the way over. Oh. How do I restart?
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Alright.
7. Then.
They go on for over 4 minutes trying to figure out how to do that. But the reason why is, and there might be some folks here going like, what's so funny about that? You know, I don't know what they're doing either. What is that thing, Bob? So, that tells you how fast it's happening in our lifetime, right? We went from the wall phone, that things that nature, with that. And then, of course, it goes to the rotary phone. Then it went to the cordless phone, right? And then, of course, it went to the cell phone. How can we live without a cell phone today? Thanks to satellite technology. Now, listen, you can communicate with anybody, anywhere on the whole planet, all at the same time, mobile, right? Remember getting stuck to that cord? Whoa. Right? But mobile was a huge breakthrough, okay? You can do all kinds of stuff, okay? Don't get this wrong. I don't want to boast or anything. And you know I love technology. But you're looking at one of the guys who had one of the very first mobile iPhones, okay, is what was going on here. Anybody else have one too? First mobile iPhone, man. Hey, Apple, eat your heart out. This was Fisher Price all the way, baby. So, but but speaking of cell phones, in our lifetime, now what's happening, right? You're not just what? They're combining both technologies. Now with your cell phone, right, you can not just speak to somebody, you can what? See and speak to somebody. George Jetson, eat your heart out. In fact, they're getting ready to come out with, listen, 3D hologram cell phones. This is crazy. Watch this one.
Cutting-edge innovation and technology shouldn't be cold and unreachable. It should be fun and part of daily life. This is eStar's world-first holographic smartphone. So, how do we generate glass-free holograms on smartphones? When we're looking at our smartphone, a camera will quickly track our eye movement. Eye tracking data is sent to our on-chip signal processing unit. It's quickly processed by our eye tracking system, which will lock on to where our eyes are looking. This is very important. Our eye tracking system will adjust the hologram generated based on where your eyes are looking, and you'll immediately see the holographic effect. The dual lens camera on the back is not just for taking holographic images, but more importantly, it's designed to collect and process holographic data. So what new user experience will such an innovative holographic smartphone bring us? No more dizziness or narrow viewing angles when watching movies in 3D. A truly immersive way to watch videos in 3D. Game playing becomes more fun and thrilling. Distance is no longer a problem. Lifelike product displays for online shopping. Complex traffic systems become easy to navigate. Education is no longer boring, but fun and lively. Anytime, anywhere, 3D scanning and printing.
Yeah, explosive is right. I think I just heard four teenagers whimper and cry. I want one. How many of you guys want one of those? I'd like to have one. It's crazy, okay? But again, the technology, folks, is literally exploding. And because of this, listen, the explosion of cell phone technology is going so fast. And now it's going exponentially. So as just one form of communication, they're estimating this year that the amount of cell phone users around the world is going to surpass the 5 billion mark. You're getting close to almost everybody on the planet having one of these communication devices. And that's just cell phones. I'm not talking, I don't have time for just regular phones. I don't know what the stats, how much that would increase that. Or internet phones. I don't know how much that would increase. But folks, somebody, it looks to me, in our lifetime, is creating a communication technology web to unite our planet just in time for 7-year tribulation. I think it's pretty obvious once you put it together. The second way, and the final way we're going to take a look at, how is the enemy using communication technology to create this one world government religion? Well, he's connecting all languages with communication technology. And this is important because you and I, you know, you might be sitting there thinking, okay, that's cool. We can read and hear and see and speak to anybody around the whole planet. And since the Tower of Babel, I mean, that's a form of communication. I'll give you that. That's very important, okay? But speaking of the Tower of Babel, we still don't speak the same languages. And again, if you're thinking that, that's actually a very good point. And that is a big hurdle you better overcome if you're going to unite the planet again. Because we all know just even, there's over 6,500 different languages. But just even the one English language, how many different dialects do we have? And I don't know if you noticed, but just even in one language, you can have some serious communication breakdown. Like this guy found out. Let's take a look at this.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm fine.
Okay. Sheltenham, Pennsylvania.
That's right.
Yeah. Born?
No, I'm originally from North South Carolina.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know too many people from Cheltenham talk like that.
Well, I lived over 25 years down south.
What was the name of the place?
Noah.
Noah?
No, N-O-R-T-H. Noah. It's in South Carolina. In South Carolina, there's a little town called Due West. And Noah.
Oh, wait, slow down now. In what, North Carolina?
No, South Carolina. In South Carolina, there's a little town called Due West, and North is 90 miles southeast of Due West. It's right. It's true. North is south of the capital, Columbia. You understand?
I was doing fine until you came out here. And then you started talking, I got lost. And I'm not in the car, and I didn't care to go anywhere. Now you have me someplace I have no idea where I am. I'm in a town north south of Due West. Where am I?
It's North Carolina, South Carolina.
I'm North South Carolina.
North comma, South
I'm
Carolina.
North comma is the name.
No, it? No. You put a comma in between North and South Carolina.
I'm in the state of South Carolina.
Right, right.
But I'm in the city called North.
It's not a city, it's a town.
A town. Okay, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Where is the railroad?
The railroad's right in the middle of the town.
That's right. Now stop
and,
there.
And
where are the black people?
I don't know. I mean, they're all around, I guess.
No, they're not all around. They're not all around. They're either on this side of the track or that side of the track. Are we due north or southwest?
You're in north.
I'm in north.
Right, South Carolina.
Here we go again.
Anyway.
No, there's no anyway. I'm sitting in my car and I'm lost.
Oh.
I want to find my people. And you're trying to give me directions. Now, I want, okay, let's put it this way.
Yeah.
Where's the river?
Which river?
I got family members like that. Man, that's so easy. But it's funny, but it's true. And that, to me, is a legitimate point, right? We know what's going to happen in the seven-year tribulation. The whole world's going to be united again. Okay, it even mentioned there every tribe, people, language, and nation. And there's going to be this global. Well, how are you going to do this, man? Again, we got 6,500 different spoken languages. You got, even with one language, you got different dialects. It just seems like it's near impossible. Bingo. Technology. Right? Let me back up a little bit. They began to develop, this was 1959. This is when it was called an automatic language translator, starting to use computer technology back then. This was a device created by IBM, and it automatically converted Russian documents into English for the U.S. military. Okay? And IBM and other companies began to further develop that automatic translation technology in the 60s and 70s. And then in 1983, we had the invention of the internet. Okay, which did not come from Al Gore, for those of you still wondering. Yeah, you can read about that later. Okay, but now this enabled, with the birth of the internet, these automatic communication technologies to get into our hands, the average Joe. Okay, in fact, one of the early ones was this thing called Babelfish. Anybody remember that thing? Babelfish. I used to use that all day long. Remember Alta Vista, that pre-Google days? Remember formaldehyde. But now it's turned into what's called the Bing Translator. But this was a nifty device, what you could do with this. And I used it back in the day with the teaching ministry. At that time, I was pastoring in Northern California. And we get emails from people. It's like, what language is that? And so I literally would copy and paste it, put it into the text there, Babelfish. I'd pick the language, convert it into English. And I'd go, oh, I got it. Makes sense. And then I would retype my message, cut it, paste it back in there, translate it into their language, copy and paste it in the email, and that's how we communicated back and forth. And it worked fantastic. Okay, that was back in that day. That's early 2000s. Okay, and but you and I can get our common hands on that. And of course, it's much more sophisticated today and even more user-friendly. But again, did I have to take a class? Did I have to learn 6,500 different languages? Did I have to pay a dime? No. It's getting automatic translation technologies at our fingertips, even for the average Joe. Huge breakthrough. Oh, by the way, I got to share this. Babelfish, of course, based on a science fiction book, but they freely admitted the creators Babel of all fish. It wasn't catfish, right? It was Babelfish. Refers to, quote, the biblical account of the confusion of languages that arose in the city of Babel. They know what they're doing. They're reversing the curse is what they do is with the computer technology. Now, again, that was a huge, big breakthrough. And you're thinking, well, what about the rest of us that don't have a computer or the planet, right? Or those of us who aren't that tech savvy. I don't know how to use that. So this doesn't really unite us in our languages. Well, that's why the same device that almost everybody on the planet has now called a cell phone, again, app-based technology, you can get apps. You just point your cell phone up to it. Right before your eyes, it translates it into your language. Here's just one of them. Watch this. Either way, back and forth. Notice the picture of the globe there. I don't think that's by chance, okay. But again, you're thinking, okay, that's kind of cool. We're getting there. We seem to be united, right? The language barrier is coming down, okay. But that's just being able to see the translation. And that's a huge breakthrough if you're going to unite the planet, right? But the Tower of Babel instance, they were able to speak to each other in real time because they had a common language. How are they going to do that? Once again, technology. Here's just one of them. What you're going to see is these things called Google Pixel Buds. And Google Pixel Buds, you can have bugs, but I don't recommend it. But anyways, pets. But Google Pixel Buds, these earbuds you put in, you're going to see it with your own eyes. This is crazy, folks. What's happening? And what it does is you speak your language to a person who's speaking a different language. It automatically translates your language into their language, which they hear in their language. Then they speak in their language that you don't know, and it automatically speaks it back to you in your language in real time. Watch this.
These are Google's Pixel Buds, the company's first wireless headphones, and they're going to take on Apple's AirPods at the same $159 price. What they do that Apple's AirPods don't, real-time language translation.
To show you how easy this experience is, I'd like to invite Isabel back on stage for a conversation in her native language, Swedish. So, Isabel is going to speak Swedish into her Pixel Buds, and I'll hear the English translation out of Pixel 2's front speakers. And then I'll respond in English, and she'll hear the Swedish translation in her Pixel Buds. To illustrate this today, you'll hear both sides of the conversation. Okay. Hey, Isabel. How's it going?
Hey, Isabel. Hur är läget?
Helt okej, tack.
Absolutely okay. Thank you.
Wow. What do you think of these cool new headphones?
Vad tycker du om de här coola nya hörlurarna?
Mitt team designade dem, så jag tycker de är ganska coola.
My team designed them, so I think they're pretty cool.
All right.
Do you realize what you just saw? For the first time since the Tower of Babel, that last global rebellion, our language barriers have come down with technology. And then if that wasn't freaky enough, they just recently, within the last couple months, they revived, speaking of Babel, they revived the Babylonian language from the dead. And they didn't just revive it from the dead. They actually made a movie. This is from the University of Cambridge, a film called The Poor Man of Nippur. And I'm not making this up. Talk about your goat theme today. It tells the tale of a young man who sought revenge on a city mayor who cheated him out of his prized possession, a goat. And so they not only brought the dead language back to life, they made a movie off of it based on a cuneiform tablet that they found at that time of a popular story. Here's just a little clip of that movie. They made all in the original Babylonian language. Watch this.
Do turisuma shutsishu alipi bavi.
Anabelika, tak tatilani kiam kibashu. Ashu istet pilte shatemidani, sha istet shalas ribete arabka.
Irt ima ina dunik akkeri khamish sikkati.
Ashu istet pilte shatemidani, shalas ribetu arabka.
Turn to somebody and say, don't mess with my goat, right? It's apparently what the moral of that Babylonian ancient story is all about. But isn't this freaky? This is all happening. That just happened the last few months. But here we are sitting here in our lifetime, and our planet is completely connected now with communication technology. And now we're on the same technology is now brought completely down the language barrier and even brought the dead Babylonian language back to life. Do you think that's by chance? All in our lifetime? Absolutely not, folks. And again, I'm convinced of the prophetic significance is this is what you need to create what's going to happen in the seven-year tribulation with the Antichrist and the false prophet, a one-world government and a one-world religion, right? And basically, you combine the last 3 weeks with travel technology, with today with communication technology, for the first time in man's history, we have the ability to pull those entities off, right? For instance, we already have our world united and governed by a single global entity called the United Nations, hello, which represents 193 different countries, okay? And then you ask yourself, well, how do these guys from different nations, remember people, tribe, nations, languages, how do they communicate together to build this global government? They use travel technology, which has erupted in our lifetime. And then when they do get together, how do they discuss their plans with, you know, got communication breakdown? Well, that's what we've been seeing for years. The UN uses what? Modern communication devices to break down the language barrier. That's all there too, right? You need the travel technology, the communication technology to unite them. And it's the same thing when it comes to the global religion. How do you get the different religions? I mean, they're on their isolated continents. They're speaking different languages. How do you get them together? Well, again, you use travel technology, get them to meet. You use the same communication technology, get them to be discussing how do you unite and to form a global religion. Now, speaking of Antichrist and the false prophet, folks, that is what Pope Francis has been doing for a long time. He's using the travel technology, the communication technology. As one guy said, if he ain't the false prophet, he's working real hard to get the job. Okay, right? But here is him going around. These are just current headlines, folks, relatively current headlines. And here's what Pope Francis is traveling around the world and communicating around the world about. We've got to come together and form a one world government. And these are legitimate sources. The Vatican calls for what? World government. Recent headlines, that's from Forbes. The UN launches a blueprint for a new world order with the help of guess who? The Pope. That's from Zero Hedge, right? Pope to world government summit. And he says there is no development without solidarity. In other words, we can't build a one world government until we all come together. That's from the Vatican. They're admitting what he's up to. Pope Francis continues to promote globalism. That's from New American. Pope Francis calls for a one world government to save humanity. And of course, that's from News Punch as well. But he's going around the world traveling, using the technology, the communication technology. Let's all come together and form a global government. Right? But he's also doing the same thing with global religions. And this is nothing new. If you're familiar with the Vatican, they've been doing this for years. Even back with Pope John Paul II, they've been working and uniting all the world's religions. Let's take a look at this.
The Vatican and the Roman Catholic Church. Its Pope is currently leading the greatest ecumenical movement in history in order to unite all religions under Rome's leadership. In 1986, Pope John Paul II gathered in Assisi, Italy, the leaders of the world's major religions to pray for peace. There were snake worshippers, fire worshippers, spiritists, animists, Buddhists, Muslims, Hindus, North American witch doctors. I watched in astonishment as they walked to the microphone to pray. The Pope said they were all praying to the same God and that their prayers were creating a spiritual energy that was bringing about a new climate for peace. John Paul II allowed his good friend the Dalai Lama to put the Buddha on the altar in St. Peter's Church in Assisi and with his monks to have a Buddhist worship ceremony there while Shintoists chanted and rang their bells outside. The prophesied world religion is in the process of being formed before our eyes, and the Vatican is the headquarters of the movement. Is this not spiritual fornication?
Yeah, it is spiritual fornication. Revelation 17, Babylon, the harlot, the whore, the one world religion working with the Antichrist. She rides the beast, the Antichrist, initially until she gets taken out and destroyed. But folks, this is nothing new. In fact, Pope Francis, it didn't stop with Pope John Paul II. Pope Francis has taken this thing and put it on steroids. And I'm just sharing just current news. We can go back years, but just current news. Have you been paying attention to what he's doing, folks? Right? Just recently, he met with what? He met with the Muslims in Dubai at this global religion, saying we all got to come together and form a world religion. You're thinking the Muslims will never go along with it. Well, their bigwigs are. And the Pope Francis is traveling and communicating with technology, getting the job done. Even recently, this was just last week, I believe, Muslims, he meets with Muslims in Morocco, and he said at this meeting, quote, "We are all brothers and sisters." What? You got to be kidding me. And they're falling for it. He is using travel technology, communication technology to grab everybody into a one world religion. Now, in fact, recently, this also just happened recently, he recently met with the head of the Mormon church, and I hesitate to use that word because Mormonism is not a real church. They're not Christians. They're a cult. Okay, we went through that study here on Wednesday nights. Okay, but the Pope even met with the Mormons. And watch what the Mormons said about the Pope. Watch this.
This is how Russell M. Nelson, the president of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, greeted Pope Francis. He and other Mormon leaders met the Pope on the occasion of the dedication of their temple in Rome, Italy. The leaders then showed Pope Francis their new temple, the first Mormon temple in the city.
What a sweet, wonderful man he is, and how fortunate the Catholic people are to have such a gracious, concerned, loving, and capable leader.
It was a never-before-seen meeting of its kind that strove to highlight similarities instead of differences.
So that's one of the many things that we share in common with you.
Yeah, you're both false prophets and you're both false teachers. That's what you share in common. Okay? But man, I don't know about you, but it's a good thing that we evangelical Christians are holding strong. We're not going along with this baloney. We're not getting sucked into the Pope traveling around communicating, come all, come one. Folks, we're getting ready to close after this. We've shared this before, but so-called bigwigs and what's called supposedly Protestant evangelical Christianity, they're loving the Pope. Watch this.
You're going to talk about tonight for a long time. Brother Tony, come on up, would you please? And Tony Palmer, some of you may know Tony. Tony and I go way back, but he's gonna be telling you the story. I asked him to come give his testimony, and he's got a special message for us tonight.
This brought an end to the protest of Luther. Brothers and sisters, Luther's protest is over. Is yours. And I get a bit cheeky here, because I challenge my Protestant pastor friends. If there is no more protest, how can there be a Protestant church? Maybe we're all Catholics again.
Right behind them, you would find, just down the street, just across the street, really, you've got Christ the Redeemer Lutheran Church. Every single one of my sisters in this area attends a Lutheran church, which thrills me. These all attend a Methodist church. I can't tell you how I love that kind of diversity. Right back here, I want you to meet St. Anne's Catholic Church of Lessonland. These ladies come, every single one of them, although they don't go to one Catholic church, every single one of them attend a Catholic church, probably right here in Houston. And I am so thrilled that they are here.
As we sat down and talked about the preparations for the big event, Joel revealed to me an incredible opportunity he just had to meet with Pope Francis.
I just felt very honored and very humbled. You know, seeing the Pope give the Mass to 100,000 people that day, you just see, you know, he's had such a heart to help people. I love the fact that he's made the church more inclusive, not trying to make it smaller, but to try to make it larger, to take everybody in. So that just resonates with me.
The main thing is love always reaches people. Authenticity, humility. Pope Francis is the perfect example of this. He is doing everything right. You see, people will listen to what we say if they like what they see. Mm-hmm. And as our new Pope, he was very, very symbolic in you know, his first mass with people of AIDS, his kissing of the disformed man, his loving the children, this authenticity, this humility, the caring for the poor. This is what the whole world expects us Christians to do. And when they go, oh, that's what a Christian does. In fact, there's a headline here in Orange County, and I love the headline. I saved it. It said, if you love Pope Francis, you'll love Jesus.
Real funny, Rick. What Bible are you reading? We dealt with this for 12 weeks, not counting the Mormon study we did on our Wednesday night studies, World Religions, Cults, and the Occult. But for 12 weeks, we clearly saw folks from their own writings in the Catechism, Roman Catholicism is not biblical Christianity. It is a sacerdotal system. It is a works-based salvation, which is not salvation. You have to keep the sacraments in order to be saved. And anybody that adds to the cross of Jesus Christ, if it's Jesus and Jesus or Jesus but, that's not the gospel. And if you're trusting in something other than the cross of Jesus Christ, you're not saved. And Jesus put the gauntlet down on all this behavior. We're not trying to be isolationists. You're being bigoted and taught. No, Jesus said, John 14:6, he is the way, the truth, the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through him. And as a born-again Christian, that's what we stand for. We don't go along with that baloney. You can't. Unless there be any doubt that Pope Francis is being staged as a type of a false prophet figure. I'm not saying he is, but man. Once again, they're using communication technology for the masses around the world to look at him as a type of a global religious savior who's here to save and unite our planet. Watch this.
No matter what divides us, his words unite us. For the first time in history, the Pope opens his doors to address the questions and issues we face together as a leader whose faith inspires the world.
I have the distinct honor of presenting to you Pope Francis of the Holy See.
Buonasera.
Studio at the looks of this car. We are used to the big American limousines, and this is a Mr. Bean car by comparison, and yet it's going to take him around town.
En las familias discutimos. En las familias a veces vuelan los platos. No voy a hablar de la suegra. En la familia hay dificultades, pero esas dificultades se superan con amor.
In a divided world,
saber escuchar. Las diferencias nos dan miedo porque nos hacen crecer.
One leader has a mission.
Non è debolezza lo tenere, è fortezza.
To bring us together.
Abbiamo tanto da fare e dobbiamo farlo insieme.
And do what? Create a one world government and a one world religion. The Tower of Babel instance, for the first time since that event, is being repeated. We're all connected together with travel technology today, communication technology. And again, if that guy ain't the false prophet, he's working real hard to get the job done. He's got a good PR campaign going. But even if he's not, it's a precursor. To what? Not just an antichrist political figure, but a religious figure who dupes the whole world, all people, all tribes, all languages, all nations, into creating a global government and a global religion, and it's happening now. And folks, this is why Jesus clearly said, Luke 21:28, when these things begin to take place, stand up, lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. Now, these are all events clearly in the seven-year tribulation. When does the rapture occur? Prior. So that just means, guess what? It's getting close. We don't know the day nor the hour, but it's getting close, right? But as the church, we need to finish here faithful. We need to communicate with people that there's a way out of this mess. Amen? As many different ways as we can. And if you're here today and you're not saved, I encourage you, I beg you, I heed you. Please listen to what God is saying. He's giving you a heads-up warning. You don't want to go into the seven-year tribulation. You don't want to experience 7 years of God's wrath nonstop. And you certainly don't want to go to hell for all eternity. You need to right now, let me communicate this to you, receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The Bible says the only way that happens is we need to acknowledge that God is holy, that we are not. The Bible says that the wages of our sin is death. We deserve to die, myself included, and go straight to hell for what we have done. But the Bible says God so loved the world, he sent his son Jesus Christ. He took the death penalty on the cross for us to forgive us of all of our sins. And the Bible says if you would believe on that, what he did on the cross for you as full payment for your sins, and trust in that and that only. And Romans says if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the grave, you will be saved. You will be saved from the 7-year tribulation because the church is not appointed unto God's wrath, but you will be saved and rescued from eternal damnation, and God will make you his child. And you could begin to intimately communicate with him even now before you get blessed with a place called heaven. It's a free gift, but you got to receive it. Do so today. Amen. Well, hi, this is Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries, and I hope you were blessed with this study. But in closing, let me ask you one final question. If you were to die today, are you sure that you go to heaven and not hell? Before you answer that, let me share a couple things that the Bible says. Did you know that the Bible says that God is holy and that we are not? And the wages of our sin or unholiness is death. In other words, we deserve to die and go straight to hell and be separated from God for all eternity. This is the great cosmic dilemma. God, who is holy and we are not, how can we have a relationship with him? The two will never mix. Now, to make matters worse, we don't even want to admit this, even though God already knows he's God. And so God, out of love, gave us something called the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were not something to just memorize or stick on your wall or give the appearance of being a religious person. The Ten Commandments were God's divine x-ray, if you will, into our heart and soul to reveal this truth that we need to admit. And that is this, that God is holy and that we are not. We are disqualified for heaven. So let's take a look at that divine x-ray that God's trying to get us to realize. The Ten Commandments, the ninth one says, you shall not bear false witness. That's lying, okay? How many guys have ever told a lie? Raise your hand, okay? Well, if you didn't raise your hand, you just did. You just told a lie because we've all done that. Well, that makes us a liar. Another Ten Commandment says that you shall not steal. Don't ever take anything without permission. How many of you guys have ever done that? Well, you guys already said you're a bunch of liars. All of our hands should have went up on that one. If we're being honest, God already knows. Folks, we've all taken something. We've stolen something. Right? That makes us a thief. Another Ten Commandments says that you shall not use the Lord's name in vain. He's not just holy, even his name is holy. Hey, folks, let's be honest. If you can believe it, even the name of Jesus Christ has been turned into a common cuss word. Well, the Bible says that's a sin of blasphemy. Now we're a blasphemer. The Bible says you shall not commit adultery. And Jesus said, here's his standard. Even if you look at another person with lust in your eye, you committed adultery in your heart. Wow, so now we're an adulterer. The Bible says you shall not murder. And you might think, well, hey, at least I haven't done that one. Really? Again, the Bible says that the sin of hatred, wishing somebody was dead, okay, that's the same thing. It's akin to the sin of murder. It's just you pulled the trigger in your heart, but God sees the heart. Hey, folks, that's just 5 out of 10. How are you doing? You still think you're going to get to heaven on your own? You still think that you're qualified, that you're holy like God, and you could bridge the gap and have a relationship with him forever? I don't think so. I mean, what did we just see? You're going to stand before God, and so am I. We all are. And we're going to have to give an account for who we are. Hey, God, let me in. I'm a liar. I'm a thief. I'm a blasphemer. I'm an adulterer. I'm a murderer. And the scripture is very clear, folks. Such people as these will not inherit the kingdom of God. We're in trouble. But folks, here's the good news. The Bible says that if we would just admit that, that's the first step. To admit that God is holy, that I'm not, I'm disqualified for heaven, I need a Savior. If we would admit that and then ask for the Savior to save us. That's what God was doing with Jesus. God gave us his son, Jesus Christ. He took the death penalty in our place so that we could be completely forgiven of everything we've ever done and be made holy through Jesus so that we can now have a relationship with God both here and now and forever in heaven. We can become qualified. The word that the Bible uses is a word called pardon, that God is willing to pardon us of all of our sins and crimes that we've committed against him and disqualified us for heaven, right? And we've actually seen this work in real life. For instance, there's been people who have committed crimes, gone to court, the gavel's been passed, the judge has said, hey, listen, we all know you're guilty, you even admit you're guilty, and for your crimes, you're going to not just jail, you're going to await in jail to go to the death penalty. And did you know that there actually is a way that somebody could get off of death row? It's called a pardon. The one in the authority, the governor, can grant what's called a pardon for that person's crimes, and they literally can go free. Not because of something they did, because the deeds are already done, you can't undo it. Not because of they tried to clean up their act while they were stuck in the jail cell, because that doesn't change anything. But simply out of mercy, the person who has the authority can give them a pardon, and they can go free. And did you know it's actually on historical record that there have been people who have been granted a pardon from the death penalty and they've refused to take it? And so even though the offer was there to be set free, they themselves still had to go to the death penalty. Folks, in a nutshell, that's what God's doing every single day with all of us this side of heaven. While you still have breath, you still have an opportunity to receive God's pardon. He's willing to forgive you of all your sins if you would just receive his pardon through Jesus Christ. Again, that's what he was doing on the cross. The cross was the death penalty of the day. But since we weren't there, and since we can't earn it, it's a gift from God, you have to receive that by faith. Reach out even today from your own spiritual jail cell, if you will, and say yes to Jesus and God's pardon so that you could be set free and go to heaven. The Bible says that if you will confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the grave, you will be saved. Hey, folks, if that's you, don't delay. You may not even have tomorrow. Today could be your last day. Please accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Confess with your mouth he is Lord. Believe in your heart that God has raised him from the grave. And the Bible says you will be saved. Well, this has been Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries. If there's anything that we could do for you, our information and number will come up here shortly. And please don't hesitate to contact us. But remember, I hope to see you in heaven. God bless.